Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 conference call of Ecos India Mobility and Hospitality Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Savli Mangle from Adfactors PR. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sejal, and good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY25 conference call. To guide us through the results today, we have the senior management team of Ecos India Mobility and Hospitality Limited, headed by Mr. Rajesh Lumba, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Aditya Lumba, Joint Managing Director, Ms. Dipali Dey, Chief Operating Officer, and Ms. Hemkumar Upadhyay, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. The actual results may vary as they are dependent on several external factors. With that said, I would now like to hand it over to Mr. Rajesh Lumba to share his comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, namaskar, everybody. Thank you for joining Ecos India Mobility and Hospitality Limited's earnings conference call. This is our first call, a maiden call, so do excuse our inexperience. Being the first call also, and for those who are new to Eco, I would take a little time to explain to you Eco's journey, how it all began, and after that, we will discuss our quarterly and half-yearly performance. So the seeds of this business were actually sown by our father in 1973, some 51 years back. He started off by driving a borrowed car himself. He was an ex-army officer who joined the army during the emergency post-62 war. And when he started this after getting out of the army with a borrowed car, he named this company Eco because it stood for Emergency Commissioned Officer, as this is what he was. Myself, since he was running the business from the home itself, I got involved at a very young age, spending a lot of time in his small home office. However, in 1996, we founded this present company as a private limited company with myself, my mother, and father as the promoters. Post-1996 till 2002, with the economic liberalization happening across India, we had managed to gather a lot of good corporate and MNC clients and hotels, etc., as our initial B2B customers. And so this would, I would say, would be the phase one. Unfortunately, in 2002, our father passed away. And that is thereafter, my brother Aditya, he joined me and partnered with me in the business. So the second phase started 2002 to 2012. And over the next 10 years, we emerged to be probably the largest car rental company in the NCR region. At this juncture, we had two inflection points or learnings. One was that due to lack of any off-the-shelf software for this business, we preempted that tech is the future and started to develop our back-end software for running the operations by automating documented processes into our tech. And this gave us the ability to scale. Also, what we realized was that the scale was exciting us, and thereafter, we decided to grow out of the NCR, one of the first companies to do that, who grew out of their home-based cities. Also, a lack of capital at this stage made us innovate an asset-light model wherein our drivers and vendors, in fact, started buying cars to provide to us. So this is where we were in 2012. Between 2012 and now, the third phase of our growth story or journey, we have opened since then 22 offices across the country with a professional team, over 950 full-time employees on the rolls currently, and professionals in the leadership roles. So our strategy was to be asset light in this phase of growth well before the time, and now although it's a market trend. In fact, if you see our journey between 2015 and 2020, from 96 to 2015, it took us some 19 years to reach our first target, which was a top line of 100 crores. But between 2015 and 2020, we grew a top line from 100 crores to 400 crores, which well proves our ability to scale up fast. Then, of course, we are all aware COVID happened, which stalled our growth. But again, post-COVID, from 2022, we managed to bounce off real fast. And till now, as of last year, we have crossed revenues of 560 crores. So today, I'm happy to share that we are India's, in fact, largest and most profitable chauffeur-driven mobility provider. And we believe this growth is just the beginning. For those who are new to this industry, basically, we have two main flavors of the same business, which is provide chauffeur-driven mobility solutions. Over the years, we have focused on two of the highest demand and revenue-generating verticals. One is chauffeured car rentals, or what we call CCR, and the other is employee transportation solutions, or what we call ETS. Now, CCR is basically something that you may all be using, you know, in your daily business travel or leisure travel. It's a consistently high-quality chauffeured service offering the full range of cars, minivans, coaches, you know, from economy to luxury, full variety and diversity of vehicles with trained chauffeurs. And this service is provided across more than 109 cities in India and 30-plus countries globally now. This is with fixed tariffs and no surge pricing, etc. Clients range from corporates who are a mainstay, then travel agencies, event management companies, you know, wedding planners, you know, people who have bulk requirements for specific events. So we call this a B2B2C business, as our business depends on how well our services are liked by our end user. As of FY24, the company provided the CCR and ETS services to over 42 Fortune 500 companies and over 60 BSE 500 companies among, you know, the over 1,200 organizations that we are serving across India. Then there is ETS, which caters to the home office, home pickup and drop requirements of our customers. And these customers are typically, you know, large corporations with very heavy and high headcounts, mostly from IT, ITES, now the global capability centers, and manufacturing companies. This service is mostly concentrated now across 11 cities in India. This is where also most of our such clients are concentrated. So luxury, comfort, convenience, and most importantly, the ability to provide quality at a scale, rental after rental, are the pillars which makes ECOS the best choice for corporate India and gives us the ability to really, you know, scale this business and take it to where it is today. We ensure that our customers have the convenience and flexibility to access a wide range of vehicles as per their needs and comfort. And the quality is the core of our service offering, ensuring a professional and reliable experience for our clients. So we have always focused on building a robust mobility solution tailored to the unique needs of our customers. We do employ a suite of digital tools also, enhancing operational efficiencies, the service reliabilities, and most importantly, the safety aspect. Over the years, our efforts have been rewarded with prestigious awards and accolades, you know, the innumerable awards and accolades, but what we are very proud of is the National Award conferred by the President of India in 2013, 14, 15, 16, then in, I think, 2017, they finally gave us a scroll of honor as the top transport company, passenger transport company, and in the top category in all these years. So coming to the giving you an oversight of the overview of the industry. So this corporate mobility industry in India has witnessed a significant growth. Mostly it's been propelled by demand for the flexible, reliable, and premium transportation solutions across India. Furthermore, as companies increasingly expand into tier two cities and beyond, the demand for ETS solutions is also rising at a fast pace, coupled with, of course, the return to office. Beyond that, you can see around you, you know, the factors driving the growth, the opening up of new airports, the expansion of the road networks, the highways, the expansion of tier two, tier three cities. Everything is adding on to the ability to travel further and faster for the business travel and leisure travel. And people, when they travel, they do need a reliable ground transportation service also. So I feel ECO is very well positioned to tap into these opportunities with our extensive network, experience management team, and our commitment to safety and service excellence. One thing that's also aided our growth has been with our large corporates, their need to consolidate and reduce the number of vendors that they deal with. So they now prefer to deal with more professional vendors who are able to provide the level of compliance and governance that such companies expect. Looking ahead, we aim to increase our share of business from existing clients while expanding our customer base. We are increasing our efforts to build a strong presence in tier two cities and beyond also, and with initiatives focused on brand building and technology upgrades to enhance the scalability and operational efficiency, which is going to be our main growth driver. Now I'll give the call to Aditya, who's a joint MD, and he'll take you through the business and client and product profile of our company.
Thank you, Rajesh. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. I also wish everybody had a wonderful Diwali and joyous festivities. I will take you through the width of ECO's business in terms of clients, geography, and fleets. The 25 years of our journey has taken us from serving customers from over 100 cities in India to providing services across 30 countries globally. Today, the company operates a fleet of more than 12,000 economy to luxury cars, SUVs, minivans, and luxury coaches. We also provide specialty vehicles such as luggage vans, vintage cars, and vehicles for accessible transportation for people with disabilities. We also provide cars on self-drive basis in the cities of Delhi, Mumbai, and Bangalore. We run this mobility solution in an asset-light model, with 90% of the fleets are vendor-owned. In FY24, through the CCR and ETS segments, we completed more than 30 lakh trips, averaging at more than 5,000 trips in a day. With over 750 clients in FY23 to around 1,200 clients in FY24, our customers include Fortune 500 companies operating in various industries, including information technology, business process outsourcing, global capability centers, consultancy, healthcare, e-commerce, pharmaceutical, legal, manufacturing, etc. In line with our growth strategy, we have expanded our fleet of luxury cars, electric vehicles, and other mid-segment cars in the key metropolitan cities, including Delhi, Mumbai, and Bangalore. We are also focused on deepening our partnerships with vendors and expanding our operations geographically, expanding our reach and service capabilities. Our brand is highly visible amongst the corporate decision makers. Plus, we have our focus on online marketing as well as the road visibility with our branded cars and branded amenities. We also partner with credit card companies to reach their frequent business travelers. And to execute all these initiatives, we have a dedicated marketing team. Our cost of sales and marketing in FY24 was only 0.7% of the total revenue. With a strong emphasis on technology, chauffeur training, quality control, and rigorous testing, we are confident in our ability to drive further business expansion. I thank you all for listening, and now Dipali Dev, the Chief Operating Officer of our company, will take us through our operational performance.
Thank you, Aditya. Good afternoon, everyone. So till now, we have discussed the what, when, and who of our journey. I will take you through the most crucial part, which is the how part. So what differentiates us? Internally, we call it VRQSR. Variety, as we offer a diverse range of car makes. Reach, because our operations span across India and globally. Quality, which is delivered by well-maintained cars and skilled chauffeurs. Safety, our chauffeurs undergo through background checks and we know them almost one-on-one. Reliability, which is the most important aspect of delivering the same experience and higher service levels. Trip after trip for almost over 3 million trips, which we have delivered in the last financial year. So essentially, our growth and ability to scale actually hinge on our service standards. And this is how we earn and retain the trust of our customers, ensuring that they choose us over our competitors. So this ability to scale has come from high quality of service that has helped us to create a rock solid brand, which is actually the end result of a high performance culture. Well, a lot goes behind the scenes to deliver this consistent service. It starts from fostering the right culture. You know, it's a top-down approach. It's get displayed through various aspects. And we use technology and constant process improvements to institutionalize this kind of a culture of providing quality at scale. Our shoppers, we call them shoppers, by the way. We don't call them drivers. They're the real brand ambassadors. And we literally transform them from being just a driver to a shopper via our very intensive L&D approach. So be it induction or any kind of skill development or behavioral training, we make sure that beyond the car, which is the shopper who is going to actually be the brand ambassador and give that extra mile experience, goes through all kind of L&D approaches so that it's refined at the last mile. Beyond the first thing, which is L&D, we also work on them on their rational and emotional levels of engagement. Human beings always want to be engaged. So rationally, we pay them on time and we pay them fairly. And for the emotional connect, we make sure that there is a structured engagement which is floated across in the organization, be it the main cities or be it tier 2 cities. Beyond these two things, we also have an extensive operations team which is maintaining a constant vigil on quality by being on the ground. So this is actually the foundation of the next phase of our growth. For the customers, you know, it was very evident that we would require technology to scale. For the customers, we have our customer app, online booking tool, and a 24/7 contact center. For the shoppers, we have our own shopper app. In fact, we are continuously advancing our technology. Currently, as we talk right now, we are in the UAT phase of new car rental transportation management system, which is developed on latest .NET technology. So, at a summary point, let me take you through what is there in the growth strategy. We want to continue doing what has really worked for us. We will continue to focus on increasing our wallet share from our existing customers while adding new customers and expanding our presence in tier 2 and tier 3 towns and cities in India. Our emphasis on brand building strategies and technology for scale and operational excellence combined with expanding services in existing networks will form the bedrock for our growth strategy. I would thank you here and would now hand it over to Hem Upadhyay, who is the Chief Financial Officer of our organization, to take you through the financial performance of the company. Over to Hem Upadhyay.
Thank you, Dipali, and good afternoon, everyone. So in the Q2 FY25, our revenue from operation increased by 15.74% to ₹159.5 crore compared to ₹137.8 crore in Q2 FY24. And this was mainly driven by the demand in the ETS business. The EBITDA stood at 23.6 crore in Q2 FY25 compared to ₹24.6 crore in corresponding previous period. The EBITDA margin decreased by 307 BPS to 14.8% in Q2 FY25 as against 17.8% in Q2 FY24. This was mainly on account of increase in cost of operation and service. The PAT of the company stood at 15.7 crore as compared to 16.4 crore in Q2 FY24. During first half of FY25, our operational revenue increased by 15% to 308.4 crore, up from ₹268.5 crore in the same period of the last year. This growth was driven by continued demand of our ETS business. The EBITDA was ₹44.3 crore in the first half of the year as compared to ₹46.7 crore in the corresponding previous period. The EBITDA margin was at 14.4% in H1 FY25 as against 17.4% in H1 FY24. This decline was mainly on account of increase in cost of operation and service. The PAT stood at ₹29.2 crore as against ₹30.4 crore in H1 FY24. During this period, we have reduced our debts by 50% from 21.7 crore in FY24 to 11.5 crore in H1 FY25. This reduced our debt to equity from 0.12 to 0.06 during the same period. Our net debt to equity stand at negative 0.16 HY1 FY25. This shift strengthens our balance sheet positioning as well as to reinvest in growth initiatives such as fleet expansion and technological upgrades while maintaining a healthy financial structure. Thank you all for listening. Now we can now take the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Balaji from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the maiden quarterly call and thanks for the opportunity. I had three questions. So the first one is more of housekeeping in nature. So could you just provide the split between the CCR and ETS segments revenue? And how the YOY growth looks like in each of these segments, that would be number one. Number two is on your overall revenue growth of around 15-16%. So that, even though that is healthy enough, it does look a little below what you were targeting for the full year. So any reason to call out as to, you know, why it has been a little lower than your expectation? And the final question would be on the margins. We have seen that the costs have gone up and there has been some margin compression. So, you know, what exactly is causing this and were there any one-offs and how do you expect margins to trend going forward? So those would be my questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Balaji. So our between the two
businesses between CCR and ETS. The as of this H1, our breakup is 62% with ETS, where we have seen a larger growth that and larger demand that was there in ETS. So that is right now 62%, while the CCR is 38%. At the same time, last year H1 it was 51% was ETS and 49% was CCR. Now this higher growth in ETS has, of course, there was because of a higher demand, and we were, you know, quick to capitalize on that demand. So this has led to, because the ETS cost of operations are higher as compared to CCR, this has led to a reduction in the in the margins, right? At the same time, the reason for the lower demand or the lower growth in CCR is that because of elections, and it was as per our expectation a bit, but yes, the lower and muted demand and business travel continued for another couple of years until a couple of months till August, and then finally it has, the CCR demand is also very well picked up from September onwards. So if you look between Q1 and Q2, there's been a growth of CCR of almost 15% in Q2 versus Q1. So this, because of higher operational costs in, of ETS, it has resulted in a lower overall margin in this in the H1.
I got it. And when you said 15% growth in Q2 versus Q1, you are referring to the QOQ revenue growth in CCR, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So this is also between Q1 and Q2. Also, has there's been an increase of our PAT by almost 10%. It has increased between Q1 and Q2.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, and we expect our CCR to keep, you know, doing better over the H2. There's a factor of seasonality, of course, but due to elections and the limited business travel as a result of that, this year the effect has been a little higher in the H1, and but we are hoping to make up for it with a higher CCR growth in H2.
Okay, so just a quick follow-up. So elections, I get it, but when you say muted business travel, what does that mean? You know, what is exactly resulting in this weakness here?
So muted business travel means, if you look at CCR, our client profile within the corporates is typically business travelers. Okay? So when business travel itself is slow, it does affect us to that extent.
Mr. Balaji, does that answer your question?
Yeah, but you know, is this because of the overall macro weakness? Anything to kind of broad, to draw some broad inferences from that?
Because of the elections, generally business travel was low because of the political uncertainty which may have been there at that time. Beyond that, there were no events also that or international delegates, etc., were not coming in at that point in time. This is, however, not picked up from September onwards very well.
Okay, got it. Thanks and all the best.
Yep.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sintil Kumar from John Ray Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. I have two questions. Firstly, you said CCR growth was impacted due to the election. So what kind of growth can we expect in the second half of FY25 and also FY26, sir?
So we are seeing a good growth both organically from our current clientele who have now started traveling more. You know, their purpose for traveling is higher. The policies are clear of the new government that has come in. Also, we have, you know, formidably increased our sales teams, which have started delivering the results. And we are acquiring new clients, both in ETS and CCR. In fact, we have acquired almost 70 clients in the H1 in our CCR and 9 large clients in ETS during H1. So due to those reasons, we see a good growth in the CCR and of course ETS also, that's unsaid, in the H2.
Okay, understood. And my second question, in Q2 FY24, the total cost of services increased by 287 basis points on year-on-year basis. So does it indicate the inability to pass on the rising cost on account of contractual agreements, or is it the competitive pressure to win the new contracts, sir?
So the entire effect is due to a higher operating cost of ETS per se. So when a section of the business which is a higher operating cost, that increases more than the other business, that is the only effect. It is nothing to do with a high, any kind of price pressure that we're facing from clients in either of the segments.
Okay. So you said like, you know, from September onwards, the CCR businesses are now picked up. So yes. what kind of margin can we expect in the second half of FY24?
Within of a business that picks up, which has a lower operating cost, that should lead to a higher margin. That's been our experience last 20 years. And so typically, over the last 20 years, you see, these two sections have been some year, it's always been between 40% to 50%. You know, they've been growing together. Some years, ETS may be higher, some years CCR may be higher. That depends on how the sales cycles pan out and what kind of clients to pick up.
Okay. So can we expect around 18-19% of EBITDA margin full year, FY25?
So I cannot comment on such exact numbers, sir. But definitely we are seeing an uptick in the CCR business from September onwards. And that's clear. You see, between Q1 and Q2, our CCR business grew 15%, while our ETS business grew only 3.5%. So that should give you an idea.
Yeah. And finally, you know, I just want to know how much of fleet we have added during the second quarter?
During the H1, we have added 59 cars in total, which comprise some hybrid cars and some EVs.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your information. Thank you. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rajesh and team. So firstly, you mentioned about you added more people in sales. Can we quantify like what kind of increase in percentage would have happened versus last year to this year in the sales team, and any new city or any new area that we're adding?
So as of March 24, we had 32 people in sales. That has now gone up to 39 people, and still we are onboarding more people. We have recreated the structure for our sales organization, and in our business, sales cycles are a little longer. It can take anywhere between 1 month to a year, depending on the size of the client and the complexity of the client, to onboard a client. So, but these are the investments that we're making to ensure that, you know, there's the growth trend line keeps going up.
Okay. The focus will remain on the corporate mobility only, right? Or you're thinking of adding some other vertical as well?
No, the focus would be on corporate mobility. So corporate mobility comprises of the client base, which is corporates, which of all from all industries, travel agents, conference organizers, even management company, essentially B2B. So this is something that we have done well, and this is what we're doubling down on and taking it to the next level in terms of scale.
Okay. And your ATS business would have grown how much roughly in the first half, broadly?
So ETS has grown from in the first half. The ETS business was around 191 CR. This grew from around last H1 was I think around 130 odd CR.
So almost 40% growth.
Yes.
40% plus growth, in fact, we have seen in this vertical versus last year.
Yes.
And CCR has fallen, but you're saying that you will see the, you have now started seeing the pickup from September month.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So in the ETS business, I mean, head over next day, 3-4 years, what do you think the kind of sales momentum we can maintain? Like we can target basically conservatively.
I'm sorry, can you just repeat your question?
I mean, in the ETS, which is growing very fast for us over next, say, 3-4 years, what kind of growth we can conservatively target?
So there are various factors, Ashutosh, which are driving this growth. One is the progressive consolidation by our clients of their vendors. You know, they're reducing the vendors. They are looking at more managed services. And of course, with the advent of the GCCs, which we see a new GCC setting up base in India, almost one every week. You know, we have over 1,500 GCCs, I think, currently. And the forecast is that would be almost 2,400 GCCs in India by the year 2030. So all these, and especially the GCCs, require a higher level of service for their employees who are, you know, more value-added in nature. So we are expecting to see, and right on the back of this, plus the manufacturing sector's growth, complement the growth of our ETS segment in the years ahead. This is in addition, of course, you know, the growth in IT, which has been the mainstay also.
Okay. And in the CCR, you said that from September month, the momentum is picked up. So I see the share that you had in 2Q of CCR, that should improve going ahead.
Yes, it already increased from 37% in Q1 to 40% in Q2.
Okay. And we have seen a decent operating leverage with your like employee expenses and all falling as a percentage of sales in this quarter. As you further ramp up, can we see further improvement on this side going ahead?
So, of course, with greater scale, the employee costs, which is our largest cost, would not be increasing at the same pace and the same rate. And if that happens, it should give us the operating leverage.
Okay. And lastly, on the CAPEX side, what kind of CAPEX in terms of purchasing of cars or any other CAPEX item you envisage for this year and next year?
We have already invested around 18 crores into our cars in H1. In 10 crores in H1, and we have made further investments in H2 also till now. Over the last 1.5 months, we have already invested around 8 to 9 crore rupees already into our cars. Going ahead, we would be making more investments depending upon the opportunities where we feel that buying our own cars would make more sense or is necessary for the growth of the business?
So, I mean, full year, can it be like 25 odd crores for this year?
Yes, we can look at 25 to 30 crores this year.
And next year, any guidance?
For next, again, you see, we would always keep our fleet, owned fleet, between 5 to 10%, which is something that has, you know, shown us to get the maximum and the most wisest return on capital employed into our own assets. Beyond this, if we see opportunities which make sense, so we would be opportunistic on this. If we see opportunities that make sense for us to invest in the own cars, then we would do that. So planning for opportunities that we can't see currently would not make any sense. We take this up as per the demand and the needs of our clients.
Okay. And this quarter, actually, we on a quarter, like the Q1 to Q2, we have seen a fall in our other expense while the scale has increased. Any particular reason behind that?
So the fall in expense is because of the higher CCR business that we did. Like I said, CCR, the share of the business was 37% in Q1. It rose to 40% in Q2. Being slightly higher margin business, the cost of operating on a gross margin basis is lesser.
No, I understand the margin expansion would result of that, but on absolute basis, I guess in both ETS and CCR, our revenue has gone up onwards in Q2 versus Q1. Okay, despite that, we have seen a fall in other expenses.
I'll give this to him to answer.
See, that one reason is Rajesh sir told you that due to the mix in CCR and ETS, so this is the things that operating cost has gone down a little bit. Otherwise, there is not much changes in the operating cost numbers during this Q1 and Q2.
Okay, got it. Maybe I'll take it offline. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. If you have a follow-up question, I would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You said in your opening remarks that it took you till 2015 to reach 100 crores, and then from 2015 to 2020, you got to 400 crores. So what is the next target in our journey, and by when do we expect to that target? If you could share some light on that.
Yes, so we our entire senior leadership team and our strategy is focused on taking advantage of all the opportunities that the market presents, be it in growing the existing set of customers, the share of the wallet of their business, or expanding our sales teams and within sales teams creating different verticals to target different client segments to generate that client demand. So we have learned over the last 20 years in terms of sustainably growing the business. Till date, we have been a bootstrap company till we went public. We had not taken any outside financing. And we wish to continue with that, wisely allocating capital, at the same time aggressively growing our sales efforts, growing our supply chain to ensure that we can keep growing at ever faster paces.
Okay, so, do we have any internal target in terms of revenue that Ecos would want to reach in 3-4 years, anything like that?
I think we have grown, 20+% CAGR over the last 20 years. And we can aspire to keep increasing this. And, even though growing from a small base is a very different ball game as compared to when you grow from a larger base, but then that is where we have to see and modify our strategies to take into account the ability to pick up higher and higher amounts of business every year, even at a larger pace.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. Second question is between ETS and CCR, right? So is there any is focus on any one particular segment, or are we taking it as it comes? Also, if you could provide the differential between the two segments, it would be helpful.
See, the market size is very, very big, and I guess we have only touched the tip of the iceberg till now, since if you look at the industry report, only around 20% of the market has been served by the organized pan-India players. And at the same time, this is growing at a higher pace. We are number one amongst those organized pan-India players. And we wish to keep making sure that we consolidate and leverage that position that we enjoy to keep growing fast. So the market size itself is so big to be able to absorb that kind of growth.
I'm specifically answering whether we have any such intentions of focusing on one of the aspects. No. The efforts are from all directions to create more demand and create the business to the next level in both the segments.
See, the business is the same. It's a chauffeur with a car, right? So we need to ensure that we are able to satisfy every different use case that may be there for different client segments. Wherever they need a chauffeur with a car. And car type can change, geography can change, but the basic business doesn't change.
Okay. And sir, the margin difference between the two, if you could share.
So operating costs in ETS is definitely higher as compared to CCR. The exact margins we do not share due to the confidentiality. We want to keep it confidential.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Singh from ProfitGate Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on maiden earnings call. My question was also same regarding margin difference in ETS and CCR, if they could share something directionally. How is the trade receivable days different in both the segments?
I'm sorry, I could not hear properly the last part of your question.
Also, if you could share how trade receivables are different in both the segments and how many days they receive money from receivables in both the segments.
Yeah, Amos should take up this question.
Yeah, our average receivable days are between 45 to 50 days. And in case of the ETS, is slightly less to 30 to 35 days. So the average has come to between 45 to 40 and 50 days for both the business segment.
And on margins, if you can share something directionally?
So the, as just told, that the margin is something is confidential, and due to the competition, we generally avoid to share the exact margins with the stakeholders.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from Edgy Hava. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for giving the opportunity and greetings to the complete team for the festive season. My question was with respect to how many self-driven fleets do we have, and like, is the margin better in them?
Self-drive is not a very high priority business for us. We do not keep a separate fleet for self-drive. It is the same vehicles wherein a self-drive business that comes in, and we are very choosy about who we rent to in terms of they have to be somebody known, and typically from within our corporate clients only, then we rent it out to them.
As you mentioned, like you all are operating in countries abroad as well, like, so probably there the fleet might be more. Like I want to know the number of fleets that they have that are self-driven.
Currently, overseas, we are providing only chauffeur-driven services. We are not providing self-drive services overseas currently.
Okay, so in India?
Yes, so in India, like I said, we use the same fleet for chauffeur-drive and self-drive, and self-drive is not a high-priority business for us because we have seen in the past that it does not make much of a profit. We tend to give it only to new known customers who typically come from within our corporate client.
So maybe the margin must be better than them?
No, margins are not better. It was better, we would definitely have been in the business.
Okay, and last question was with respect to the cost, interest cost, like on the loan which we have.
Yeah, so we have reduced our loan to only now around 10 crores approximately as on date. So that's, and the loans against cars. Currently, whatever new cars we have purchased have been through internal accruals. So interest cost is very less.
Yeah, interest rate. The question was.
Interest rate?
Yeah.
I'll let Haim answer that.
So can you repeat which interest rate you are asking for?
On the borrowings that the company is having, the blended cost of interest.
See, from last almost 1.5 years, we did not go for any loan, but earlier our average were around 8.5 to 8.7%.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prince Chaudhary from Pink Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a few questions. First one, whether do we have any kind of contracts with our customers in ETS segment?
Yes, we do have contracts with all our customers, and the range between the duration of the contracts typically is 3 to 4 years.
Okay, 3 to 4 years. If you can provide the wallet share per customers. As you have mentioned, you are strategically planning to increase the wallet share of the customers. So I want to know, what steps you are taking and what is the current wallet share versus going forward?
So typically, it depends on the wallet share. Also, is a function of how large the client is and how many they want to keep in one basket. Mm-hmm. So where we are working, the kind of clients we're working, on average, you can say that we may be one of, between being the only supplier to being one of 4 to 10 suppliers, any such customer. And thereafter, the wallet share depends on your ability to service the demand from the customer and the quality of services that you provide.
All right. Also, if you can provide the breakup of our geographical concentration.
Geographically, if you look at it, almost 60% of our business comes from Gurgaon, Bangalore, Mumbai, and Hyderabad. The rest, you know, 40% is there from Delhi, from overseas, from smaller cities, Ahmedabad, Pune, Chennai, Jaipur, Noida, Calcutta.
Okay, and global versus domestic?
So global is, of course, a new initiative, and as for H1, we have done almost 1.7% of our business has come from our global operation.
1.75%.
1.7, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul from State Street Global Advisors. Please go ahead. Mr. Rahul, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the maiden call. I just want to understand on the global front, is it largely your Indian clients asking for a global transfer set of service? And in which geography globally currently you guys have fleet? Because I understand you have 30 plus countries where you have fleet. Over there also you have your fleet network, and which specific country that you are targeting from initial standpoint, because it's still small as a business.
Yeah. So our largest, as far as H1 is concerned, our largest geography where we have, and to answer the first part of the question, yes, it is primarily aimed at servicing our Indian clientele traveling overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Our largest is the US, followed by Europe and UK, and thereafter followed by the Middle East as of today.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Lomba for closing comments.
Thank you, ma'am. So I'd like to thank all of our clients, partners, my team here at ECOS, and all our stakeholders. I guess it's your trust and your commitment that enables us to pursue our vision of being India's leading corporate mobility provider. I do hope that you also try out our services to get a better feel of what we are actually doing and hear it from the horse's mouth, which are our chauffeurs. But we are definitely excited about the journey ahead and look forward to building a true value for our customers together.
Thank you. On behalf of ECOS India Mobility and Hospitality Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.